I would like to introduce our first speaker. His name is Maurice, and he's from the Novana area. Come on, Maurice. Thank you.
My name's Maurice, and I'm an addict. And I would like to thank the committee for asking me and giving me the privilege to share my experience, Trip, and Hope with you. And for me, this is a big thing. You know what I'm saying? It's a big thing because I suffer from grave low self-esteem and grave low self-worth. So for a person like me, I need to have highlights and events in my life that I can reflect on when I'm by myself. Because the monkey is sitting on my shoulder today, right? And it's telling me, like, especially when I would share with people would ask me, like, what are you sharing or where you at, whatever, and I tell them that I'm sharing on the vicious cycle. And the first thing would be like, ooh, that's a big one. Where you going to be at the ballroom? Oh, the ballroom. And the monkey said, motherfucker, you don't got shit to share about. What the hell you got to share about? You know what I'm saying? You ain't got no hell of a story for real. You know what I'm saying? Those people want to hear some drama and shit. You don't got none of that. Look, it says don't even go up there for real. You know what I'm saying? So what I have to do is I have to, the program says, you know, Maurice, it ain't about what you use, how you use, who you use with, what your connections were. It's about not using at all today. It is about what are you doing to stay here. So when I think about the vicious cycle, that's what I'm going to talk about. My process of staying here, staying clean, one day at a time. I was born in D.C., and even though my disease says, and what I want to tell you, I was someplace else. I'm really from New York, and my family, they were the bomb, you know what I'm saying? And because I don't want to tell you that I was raised in a single family. My mother, you know, who I had a problem with when I got here, beat me up on a regular basis. Not so much physically, but mentally. And I don't want to tell you that my dad, who my mother looked at as apple pie, even though he was beating her behind on a regular basis. It wasn't nothing for us to wake up in the middle of the night with my mother butt naked in the middle of the floor. Now, I don't know where he'd been for months and years, but all of a sudden he would like climbing up through the window, and you would find my mother in the middle of the floor with him butt naked beating her in, like she was in a boxing ring. All I remember is a lot of blood. And not only would he do it in the house, he would do it in front of my friends. So I didn't know. So when I would go to school, I was fighting every day. I was fighting every day because I was a fat kid. I was too dark. You know, it's amazing how, you know, for me, I was black. And everybody who was black and ugly, I was akin to. You know what I'm saying? Is that your mother? Is that your cousin over there and shit? I'm like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And I'm a fat kid, and I'm fat where, you know, I have breasts, you know. And girls will come up to me and say, you know, damn, you need my training bra. You know what I'm saying? How the fuck do you deal with that, right? And then I would go home, and my mother would look at me in disgust, and she would take her hand and wipe her hand across I hate the word willpower, because every time I try to have some, I would fail. You know what I'm saying? So I have great, to go to school and have to do that all day long and then come home and somebody who's supposed to be loving, supportive of you also degrade you was hard for me to understand. So instantly, my best prayer was the prayer to die. You know what I'm saying? Why did you bring me into this crazy situation? What did I do to you to deserve this? You know, so today, you know, to turn that around, I'm an advocate for fat kids. Okay, so parents, If you're around your kid and you degrading him in front of me, you got a fighter coming. I'm going to tell you, you know, that what you say to them will determine their outcome in life. You know, what you say to them is going to, can cause them a great deal of harm and how they look at themselves in the mirror. You know, when I got here, it was hard. You know, first of all, I ain't know why I was here. You know, I did not have a plan on being an addict. I tell you that I had a problem with my mother, you know, and what she would tell me is that you ain't shit, you ain't going to be shit, you ain't going to be nothing, you going to be just like your father. But when she looked at him, she looked at him as a peach cobbler, you know, and when she looked at me, she looked at me in disgust. I couldn't get that, I didn't understand that. So my goal after school and doing everything I needed to do was to prove her wrong. I was really working on proving her wrong. So in that, it took me I didn't use for a long time. When I got here, I was 33. The height of my addiction, I was 27. You know, before then, it was like I could go to the club and drink one or two drinks. You know, I was fine. I could hit a tip of the joint and be like, fine. I had friends who laughed at me because I couldn't drink a whole beer. You know, and I lived like, okay, whatever. And it's like I blinked and I was in a crack house. You know, I blinked and I was in a crack house. I got no understanding of what the fuck happened. It wasn't no long process, you know what I'm saying? You know, I have not a lot of not yet. It was no abandoned buildings and all that shit, you know, what y'all share about, you know. And so when I came in here, I really identified out because I ain't do none of that stuff that y'all did. I swear to God. You know, but what I realized is that at the end, I was at my mother's house, sleeping in her basement, even though she didn't want me there. My sister had to beg her for me to stay here because I lost my good job. I was living in her basement, and I was unemployed, receiving an unemployment check, which I would give her money to hold for me because I didn't want to spend it all. And I would leave out of her house with new clothes on, a bath, didn't have time to cut my hair, I had a bush, dark skin, and by this time, I'm weighing about 100 pounds, and I'm thinking I'm looking good as shit. You know what I'm saying? And what I got from that is that when I came out the basement and she looked at me and her mouth opened up in awe, she saw what I didn't see. What I saw was that I finally got you. Because now I'm at a weight that I could deal with her with. She wasn't looking at me in disgust any fucking more. What she saw, I didn't see. What she saw was that I'm wasting away. And I said, oh, I finally got you. So when her mouth dropped, I was like, shit, I'm doing what you always wanted me to do. You know what I'm saying? So I would leave her house, and I couldn't understand. I would have a bright idea on doing something else, going someplace else, but I would end up in the crack house, which I hated. You know, what it dawned on me is that I don't have no glorified using story, and I didn't like using crack. I ain't like smoking crack. I hated the motherfucking crack house I was in. I hated the piss, the fishies in the corner, the curtains hanging off the motherfucking window, you know, the roaches. Oh, my God, the roaches crawling on the ceiling, dropping on your head while you sweating like a motherfucker in that place. You know what I'm saying? Sitting there with the girl with the fur coat on, and I got a shirt and tie. You know what I'm saying? Trying to identify out. What the fuck? I ain't know how to, you know, I ain't understand. Which was my crack house was right across the church that I went to, prayed on, slammed on the floor, danced around the circles, got heads laid on, sang in the choir, and would leave the choir rehearsal to run up to the crack house. And Sunday morning, they would come out, and I was standing like I was invisible, like they didn't see me. I got no understanding. You know what I'm saying? With the girl who was, I still can't understand this now. She was coughing all the motherfucking time. you know, cough spitting, you know, and I didn't smoke cigarettes, and I didn't smoke cigarettes, but I like smoking off aluminum cans. I don't know nothing about the stem or whatever. I tried that, but I would always burn my motherfucking lips, face be all, you know what I'm saying? So quickly, I said, I don't want to do that no more. My hands all burned up and shit. I ain't want to do. So aluminum cans is my thing, you know what I'm saying? And I hated that process because it was a process to find a good-ass can. So, you know what I'm saying? So I'm in there, you know what I'm saying? So she coughing and stuff. She got puffing on the cigarettes. And then I had to get thirsty and shit and drinking beer behind her crazy ass, you know? It's a blessing I don't have TB today. You know what I'm saying? So, but I kept going back. I couldn't understand why I kept going back. You know, and then when I came into the program and how I got connected is when you guys said that this was a feeling disease. Because I heard a lot of stuff before this. When the guy shared that this was a feeling disease, I said, okay, I understand. Because I know what I felt like the day I picked up the can. I was working this good job that I liked. I am a musician. I can say that today we're proud and whatever. I sing and I play and that was going good for me. I was in this rap group at the time. And I had tons of girlfriends. And I was working on this job and I had met this guy. And we started doing the do. And what happened is I fell in love with having sex with him more than I loved having sex with a girl. And we were all working on the same job. So I was one way, and I was one way with him, right? And one day, those two motherfuckers crossed. And because I fell in love with him, you know, and I went to go tell him this, and he said, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. And some said, uh-oh. So some said, the feelings, I ain't know what to do with those feelings or whatever, and I had the guy who I was managing in the house. It was 7 days on, 7 days off. I was my house manager him, and he says, yo. And I knew he was smoking. Now, what happened was the guy that I was seeing to keep him, I had to do some stuff. And one of the things, he used like this snort cocaine, big cocaine snorter. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really like it, but I knew to be with him, I had to do some things. So I took to snorting coke. And he would take the package and he could lift it up to his nose and snort, come out with nothing on the motherfucking package. Big snort. So we would go to New York and cop and everything. And so I was stealing from her money from her to keep him. And so he tells me he don't want to be bothering me more. And, okay, and I had all these feelings. So, and he would tell me, the guy who I was living with at the time, he was smoking crack. And the coke sniffer said, whatever you do, don't do that. So when he told me no, the guy with the package said, yo, I got something to make sure you all right. Come and go with me. Now, I remember what the guy said, but because of all those feelings, I said, fuck him. And let me taste that. And once I tasted it, it was all over. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm dealing with that stuff, dealing with my own identity. And what I'm talking about is being gay and homophobic. You know, and I mean, I didn't like anything about me at all. And the disease right now can still tell me, like, you know, people walking out and shit. My disease says, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, my disease says, don't sell that shit, because the niggas who hugged you coming in the meeting ain't going to hug you going out. You know what I'm saying? So you got to keep that stuff at bay, Maurice, whatever. But I'm as sick as my secrets. I'm as sick as my secrets. And I ain't here for you guys no more. I'm here for me. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't ever want to use again. I don't ever want to use again. Because I know I'm the person in the why we're here. It says that some of us slowly committed suicide. You know what I'm saying? And for me, it's not jumping off the fucking bridge because I don't have the courage to jump off the motherfucking bridge. I would slowly kill myself. That was the use of the drugs, to slowly kill myself. You know, and I don't want to do that. So that's the vicious cycle that I want to talk about. Me. That shit when y'all ain't around, shh, don't tell nobody. On a regular basis. You know what I'm saying? That shit that tells me that, you know what I'm saying, you HIV positive, you know what I'm saying, you on the machine, the dialysis machine, you know, and sometimes that can be a lonely thing for me because I do, the blessing is that I do in at home dialysis. I don't go to the centers no more. I do it in my house. I've become my own caregiver. That's a blessing, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes it can be very lonely. Because I'm on that shit by myself, and the walls start to close in, and the machine said, And I gotta instantly pray God for the willingness to keep continue to do that. It's hard. Every day ain't an easy day, you know? Because the disease, the monkey again, says, what's the use? Why you keep doing this shit for real, for real? Don't you want something to take the edge off? Just for a moment. You don't want to use for real. You don't want to use crack. You just want a beer. You just want a beer. And I got to call my sponsor. What I've learned to do is to have a network of people who know me well enough to help me get out that motherfucking space. That what has happened is when my faith has depleted, they loan me their faith so I can continue on. That's an awesome thing. What I found out, because I'm one of those people they talk about in the lid, I need outside help. I seek outside help. And one thing the lady told me, she said, you have this inability. She says you have this capability of sabotaging your life on a regular basis. I look for shit to do to fuck myself up. I look for shit. I succeed for a couple of minutes, climb to the top of the hill. But I can easily roll stuff down. You know what I'm saying? And I'm tired of doing that. Real quickly, what I'm dealing with today is I'm back in school, finishing my education degree. And this week has been the hardest week for me. I mean, my disease telling me that why you doing this? It's costing too much fucking money. You owe this fucking shit. What the fucking use? You know what I'm saying? It's been hard. But again, I got people in my life that I can call up and say, look, Tawana, I just need some encouragement to keep going on because I don't want to fail no more. I'm tired of fucking failing. I'm tired of always starting again and again and again and again. So I don't have a story about, you know, using ain't an option no more. Using is always an option for me. Using is always an option for me. If using was not an option, why would I keep coming here? My disease say you got other shit to do. For real, for real. You got other shit to do. Why I gonna come up here and share all this shit with y'all? I don't want y'all to, why? I keep coming back because I don't want to die. And what happens is, what I know is that I won't die physically first. Spiritually, I'll once again be bankrupt as hell. Be bankrupt as hell, losing all hope, having no dreams. you know, I'm getting ready to make a major change in my life. I'm getting ready to move from this location and go to North Carolina. I've been wanting to do that since I was a little boy, but scared to do it. Today, I ain't living with nobody. I don't got all my shit in green garbage bags, waiting, living vicariously through somebody else, whether men or women. Walking around on eggshells because, you know, when you live with somebody, fucking body, you ain't loaning shit, giving up nothing that they can do and say whatever they want to say to you. And if you even press your shit, chest out a little bit, they telling you to pack your shit and leave. And you don't have no other place to go. You looking at them like, what the fuck? You know, I don't have to do that no more. Thank God for God being God, and thank y'all God for y'all, man. You know what I'm saying? Whether you like me or not, you know, for the newcomer, keep saying. Even when they tell you shut the fuck up, keep saying. Keep saying. They told me that saying would save your life. If you share some fucked up shit, the people who care about you gonna come to you and tell you about that shit. You know what I'm saying? They're going to tell you about that shit. They're going to help you out with something. You know what I'm saying? And because that's what I had to do. I had to vomit that shit up. I was sharing. People were looking, oh, God. Not again. You know what I'm saying? Fuck you. I'm here for me. I ain't here for you. You know what I'm saying? I had to find a suit that fits me. And the people who love me enough took me by the hand and showed me how to do some stuff. Like, I don't know what I shared, but they told me that look in the mirror 30 days and tell yourself you love yourself. That stuff was real, real hard for me in the beginning, but as I continued to do it, I understood what they meant. Then they got real crafty, and I ain't gonna understand how did they know that I want to look at myself and mutilate myself on a regular basis. See, it's hard, you know, when you always been talked about and laughed at and talked about how your body is or whatever. You know, I'm a man. I don't have no motherfucking titties. You know what I'm saying? And every day I would look at myself and want to take a knife and cut myself. I ain't want to tell y'all that, but that's what happened. So they told me to look in the mirror for 30 days. Then they told me, okay, now you did the 30 days. Now take all your clothes off, stand in a full-length mirror, rub yourself down, and tell yourself how much you love something about yourself. I did it. And what I found out, I got some nice-ass nipples. What happened to me is what I found out looking at some highlights in my life, looking at some events in my life. Even a woman I dated liked to suck on my fucking nipples. So whatever you talk, you know, I have to do that, you know, because I can, that monkey can still go, you know, somebody can say some shit and steal my joy. And then I'm going home with that shit late at night and y'all ain't around, and I start to tell myself some sick shit. I think about cutting myself again. You know, I keep coming back to save my life. Thank you.
Okay, this is just a reminder that if you park on the side of the convention center, you will be towed. Okay? So please remember that. Please do not park in areas that is not designated for parking, because you will be towed. Towed away. Okay?
Okay.
Let's thank Maurice again for a wonderful message.